welcome to the second hour of Authentic News right here at RBN Live this 15th day of November 2023, where I'm taking your calls. We have four lined up so far. Peter in Los Angeles, join the conversation. Your thoughts today, Peter.
Yeah, hi, James. I wanted to raise a question a little after a quick comment. But one of the comments is that what we are witnessing, and the whole world is witnessing, for the first time, the whole world can witness and is witnessing a genocide right in front of their eyes. And it's as though we were able to see Pol Pot or the Turks and the Armenians in 1915 or whatever they call the Holocaust was. But this is a real Holocaust. These aren't work camps. Gaza is a death camp. It used to be an open air concentration camp, and now it's a death camp. But what I wanted to say, James, is I'm looking at the Israeli flag, and you know, you're seeing people who are being thrown out of school or losing their job or deplatformed for using the phrase "from the river to the sea." And the Israeli flag, that's what it depicts. The river to the sea. It's the Zionist aspiration to go all the way to the Tigris River, from the Mediterranean to the Tigris, and it's right on their flag.
Actually, Peter, the two blue lines represent the Nile and the Tigris. So, you know, it's from the two rivers are supposed to define boundaries of the greater Israel. Right. The river to the sea is supposed to represent, you know, all Israel belonging to Palestine as opposed to the Nile and the Tigris. But your thought is in the right direction, no doubt.
The other thing is, you know, there are all these. The word anti-Semitism is, of course, defined by the Jews, and it's moved hugely over the last 40 years. It really, what it is now is anything that the Jews don't like, any criticism of Jews anywhere. If you say they control the economy or they control the banks and the finances, you can't say that. If you say that dual loyalty, you know, that's which, of course, I think we went over the fact that Netanyahu was born an American citizen and skipped out over to Israel, and on, people like that all over the place. Half their population were citizens of Russia or the United States, and eschewed their countries of birth to escape to live out their Zionist wet dream. But so if anti-Semitism is defined by the Jews, I want to ask what is Semitism? Because you can't really define anti-Semitism without defining Semitism.
Yeah,
and what that has meant in all the over 100 places where they've been thrown out, it's things like dual loyalty or really no loyalty at all. It's like constantly agitating, and every ism you can think of, from Marxism to fascism to socialism, you name the ism, they're the ones that started it. And it was always as sort of a revolutionary undertaking to undermine the society that they were in. That's one, you know, you could say a whole bunch of things. But if you're going to say anti-Semitism, let's have the goys, unwashed masses of goys. Let's say, what is our, you know, they're defining anti-Semitism. Let us define what Semitism is. What do you think?
Well, actually, it's a linguistic distinction. It applies to a range of languages that are found in the Middle East. Those are the Semitic languages. And the Palestinians are bona fide Semites, but the Israelis, descended from Khazaria, are not. That's right. As I've emphasized before.
Yeah.
as I've emphasized before, Israel thus turns out to be the greatest practitioner of anti-Semitism the world has ever known. But let me add this. They have stretched the meaning of the word to include any criticism of Israel. Basically.
Yes.
Well, the point being that if you offer any criticism, you're automatically labeled as an anti-Semite. Now, a former minister of education went on Amy Goodman's show years and years ago, and Amy asked her about criticism of Israel, and the minister replied, well, it's a trick. If we get criticized in Europe, we bring up the Holocaust. If we get criticized in America, they're called anti-Semitic. She admitted what they were doing. And yeah, it was Voltaire observed to know who rules over you, determine who you're not allowed to criticize, which is just one way of, you know, imposing their grip on America. They don't want us to be able to articulate criticism of Israel, which under the circumstances is a manifest absurdity. You have, as you correctly observed, a genocide taking place right here in public because of television and the miracles of technology. The internet, we can actually watch it happen in real time. This has never before happened, and the consequences are going to be profound because the emotional impact of watching these things happen rather than merely reading about them are categorically greater. So you're making good points, Peter. A final thought? Go ahead.
Well, if I could, James. I have a sister who's like famous in her field. She's a PhD, and I would say in the past I would talk about this 10, even 15 years ago, talk about Gaza as an open air prison camp, and compare it to the Warsaw Ghetto, which I think is a very apt thing, although not even the Nazis dropped white phosphorus on the Warsaw Ghetto. They didn't use Apache gunships in F-16. But nevertheless, my sister would say, you can't make that comparison. It's too loaded. You can't say that because it's too loaded to compare them to the Warsaw Ghetto or what have you. And I kept saying to her, you cannot allow your opponents to dictate the language that you use. You've already lost. And I think we have to define, if they're defining anti-Semitism, let us define Semitism the way we want to define it. You know, controlling everything. You know, no tolerance for free speech, eviscerating the Bill of Rights, fathers, pornography, you name it. You name it. All of it's true.
Those are good points, Peter. Yeah, well, we're being confronted by, a group, and Kevin MacDonald has emphasized they have a group strategy. In other words, the Jews hang together and they promote the interests of other Jews. And that's part of the reason they've been so successful in exercising control. It's like skull and bones. They take an oath to benefit other bonesmen. You'll never do anything that'll defeat another bonesman. So Kerry gives way to Bush, doesn't contest the election because they're both bonesmen, and you won't do that. It's very telling, the grip they have on our Congress, the grip they have on our media, on Hollywood. It's to the detriment of America because it's made us the stooges of Israel, and they hold us in utter contempt. Check out the observation check out the observation of Bibi Netanyahu, I think it was 1990, where he said America is the golden calf. We're going to suck it dry and chop it up into pieces and destroy it because that's what we do with nations we hate. And this guy got an MBA at MIT, for crying out loud. He's disgusting. Maybe the single most evil. I mean, he's right up there with Klaus Schwab and the Rothschild family, without any doubt. Peter, a final thought.
Well, we cannot allow these people to control the lexicon of terms and language that we use. Because it's lost. If we let them control the terms of the debate and even the words you can use, and it's just, we can't allow that. So let's
there's a very good, very, There's a very good linguist in cognitive science who talks about frames, framing conversations. If you just do a search, cognitive science frames, he's going to turn up his work. But you're absolutely right, Peter. They're trying to control the boundaries of the conversation to guarantee that they're on the winning side. Thanks for another excellent call, Peter. I really enjoy your calls. Andy in Texas, join the conversation, Andy. Andy, are you there? No, Andy. Let's go to John in Michigan. Andy, if you regain your audio, I'll bring you back in. John in Michigan. John, join the conversation.
Well, thank you, Jim. And something I'd like to bring out, I lost my train of thought on one thing, but I did read the Balfour Declaration, or the speech by Benjamin Friedman at the Willard Hotel in 1961. And in there, he gives a lot of history as to who these people are. He also breaks down when the Bible was put into English, I think in 1375 is what I think the date was. There wasn't a word for Jew because there wasn't a J in Latin. So the word Jew is totally been put into the vocabulary through that interpretation. And these people, and Semite, I looked it up in Webster's Dictionary, and it's people of Arab and ancient heritage. And he said, and it also stated at the end, it might be considered, you know, some, they put Jew in there and one other, a name which was, I think, a wrong interpretation, a Semite. But that's the area where these people are indigenous to. And the people in Israel are not, they're Khazarians, as you've mentioned before. And, supposedly, oh, wait, is music coming? No.
No, not yet. Go on. I was just going to add, that's a revised definition. That's not technically correct. It's not just residents of that area. It's a linguistic distinction. And you're talking about, you know, this is parallel to the expansion of anti-Semitism to include any criticism of Israel. To hell with that. You can criticize Israel performing genocide, and there's nothing anti-Semitic about it. It's got nothing to do with religion. It has to do with the action of murdering people on a massive scale, which is inhumane and deserves condemnation by every decent human being on planet Earth. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I love that. I'll go, what about the people in Maui? No one's talking about that anymore. We watched that happen, and that was genocide of a group of cultural inhabitants of that area. So the same people, BlackRock, they're involved with both of these, and Venture, but all the real scum at the top. But the World Council of Churches, our people running our churches today are responsible for all this information that Israel is God's chosen people, because the World Council of Churches made sure that wasn't going to change, I think, back in the 20s and 30s. And I learned that listening to John Stadtmiller's presentation that's on RBN, the Jewish elite. And it's not in the updates, but it's 10 days of great information, history that really clarify a lot. But the ministers, the pastors, my friend who's in her late 80s, she never heard of an Ashkenazi. She didn't know what that was. And, you know, I sent her to read Jack Bernstein's book about racist, fascist Israel. He lived there, married a Sephardic person, and he explains the whole corruption. This was back in the 80s. He wrote that, and then the Mossad took him out. So just, if you get some education or some information, and RBN has a lot of it with John's stuff, and the Balfour Declaration, and Bernstein, there's a lot of good stuff there, I think. And these churches have totally corrupted the whole story, and everyone, you know, it's like, well, I looked at Fox News, and I don't watch it. I just wanted to see what they're doing. Everything's Israel, 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 Israel. You know, it's like nonstop gagging stuff. So
I think that's why they had to give Tucker the boot. They couldn't go all in for Israel if Tucker were drawing 6 million viewers a day and explain what's really going on. So I think you made a lot of great points here, John. A final thought?
Well, I just ask God to bless you and RBN and all those out there.
That's
all
very kind.
And let's bring Maui back on the scene, people. What are they doing there?
Yeah. That's good. Right, that's good, John. I like that. And John Stadmiller does appear to have had clear perception of the real enemy long before many of the rest of us caught up with him. Laura in Michigan. Laura, join the conversation.
Hello, Mr. Fetzer. I wanted to tell you that yesterday at the National Mall in Washington, they had 300,000 pro-Israeli people there demonstrating.
Yes.
300,000.
Yes. And what do you make of that? Weren't they going to? Didn't they claim they were going to have a million?
I don't know what they claimed, but that's what they got, 300,000.
Yeah, I think that's disappointing. 300,000 suckers, in my opinion, Laura.
Right. There was a pro-Palestinian demonstration in California.
There was a pro-Palestinian encounter. They're going on all over the world. That one in London was just staggering. But there are huge rallies against Israel in favor of the Palestinians all over the world. Laura, an additional thought?
Beck made me really mad today. He said Russia and Iran are trying to get the West into a war.
God, it's Israel, and, you know, the United States is going along. It's just outrageous. Who is making that claim? Yeah.
You know?
Laura, thanks. A final thought?
Well, I was going to get on the Kennedy thing. Have you been to the grave site?
Sure.
Yeah.
If you mean Arlington, the eternal flame?
Yeah. Do you know who else is buried there?
Well,
Patrick Kennedy.
Go ahead. Yeah.
I think he's the stillborn baby of Jacqueline.
Right. Patrick, yeah. And Jacqueline, of course.
Buried there, too. I was surprised to see that.
Yeah. Well, there's a question whether the bodies are actually there. Some have brought in, you know, metal detectors, and they don't think the grave is there. I think Lyndon would have liked to have cremated JFK and spread his ashes all over the Atlantic, just as he dumped the bronze casket into the Atlantic to conceal any clues about his actual cause of death. Good stuff, Laura. A final parting thought?
Yeah, I'm not an anti-cement. I like cement. My garage floor is cement.
Very good. Very good, Laura.
They might. Yeah. Just turn it around to people.
Yes. Yes. Well, how can you be in favor of genocide, and how can you be, you know, pro-Palestine when Palestine is committing genocide? That's being pro-genocide. I mean, this is outrageous. It's insulting beyond words. And frankly, I think the world, Israel has lost its stand in the eyes of the world community. We'll be right back.
Love, love, love.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To learn more about this amazing breakthrough, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less value its currency, the dollar is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food. Seeing that the dollar is cheap, that's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because of the buying power, the value of the dollar has tanked. It's worth nothing. And the gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold, a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis. Historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers. And Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in 5 easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help! When I was younger, so much younger than today. Anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone, and I'm not so self-assured. Now I find a change of mind and open up the doors. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down, and I do appreciate you being around.
Well, Thomas in New Mexico, join the conversation, Thomas.
Thank you for taking my call, Jim. It's a little off topic. Yesterday, it shocked me. A video in Pueblo, Colorado happened yesterday, Tuesday. A man called up the police, if I understand the news report, and the man told the police, the Pueblo police, to follow him to the Pueblo Mall in Pueblo, Colorado, that he had a bomb, and he said that his intentions were to kill as many people as he could. And so they had a large police presence near the Pueblo Mall around there, and A gray SUV crashed into the man just went right into the front door where the food court area where people sit down and eat, and they have like a Subway in there and different food places, the food court area, and this man drives right into the front, glass all shattered, doors broken, goes right into the Pueblo Mall. They did get the man in custody. I don't know if they found a bomb, but that happened yesterday. I uploaded the video on my BitChute channel. The source, I downloaded, then I re-uploaded the video on my BitChute channel. And the source, I seen it yesterday on YouTube from KRDO News 13. And just thought I'd give you an update about what happened yesterday, I found out today.
Well, who is the suspect? Who is the driver? What do we know about him?
I don't know. They didn't give a name of the suspect, but I posted it. I did find a TikTok video of somebody took a video that I guess was eating inside the Pueblo Mall when the gray SUV crashed in there, and I don't know. They didn't give a lot of information on the report. That's all I found out, and it's uploaded on my BitChute channel, bitchute.com/BlueRaven. And I think I sent it to your email, Jim.
Okay. Thank you, Thomas. Now, look how there's something incoherent about the story, because if you want to kill as many people as possible, why would you notify the police?
Yeah.
But you alert police.
That don't make sense to me.
Right. Unless you wanted to kill police, and therefore you wanted to give them a reason to be there. And of course... And of course, driving a car into food isn't the same as having a bomb. So there's certain incoherent. I wonder who this is. I mean, it could be a legitimate event, of course. I mean, that doesn't sound to me far out. I mean, I think it's certainly possible, but you'd want to know what was the motive, who was the individual, what was really going on there. But on its face, I wouldn't say it smacks of a false flag. I would say it warrants additional research. If they had bona fide victims, if you had a whole lot of ambulances, EMTs turning out, you know, was anybody killed?
No, nobody was hurt, thank God. Nobody was hurt.
Okay, interesting, Thomas. Anything else you'd like to add about any other subject?
Just a question, if I can ask you, is it okay? I have an app on my phone. My computer was broke. I'm targeted. I'm a TI, but I use an app on my phone. I may start recording your show, and then I'll post your links and post your bits.
Sure.
Is that okay?
Sure. Absolutely.
And I can convert.
Thomas, absolutely. 100%. Yeah, do it.
One last question. Subscribe on your BitChute channel. Can I download and re-upload the video on my BitChute channel? I'll post your link. I'll convert your I'll convert your video also into MP3. I'm on TalkShoot on TalkShoot radio podcast, and my TalkShoot it automatically. Yep. I'll get you up on my TuneIn radio.
Thomas, do it! Do it! Do it! You certainly have my permission.
I'll post all your links, and I will post RBN links. And thank you very much for giving me permission.
Well, thank you for that call, Tom. Thank you very, very much for the call. Paul in New Jersey. Paul in New Jersey, join the conversation, Paul.
Hello, Mr. Petzer.
Yes.
About 40 years ago, I read Machiavelli's book, The Prince.
Yes.
In the book, the one thing that I remember, about the only thing, actually, I remember... is that he talked about the three ways of conquering...
Okay, stand by. We'll pick it up with you right after this break.
Look at all the lovely people. Eleanor Rigby picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read one. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered from a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious, he almost died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives that were more affordable, he tried Extendivite. Since taking it, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun, and I say it's all right.
Well, Paul in New Jersey, please continue what you would like to share with us today, please.
Yes, well, in Machiavelli's book, The Prince, he talks about the three methods if you're going to conquer a nation. One way is you first militarily defeat them, and then you set up a puppet, right, to administer the government. The second way is you conquer them, and then you put in colonists to take over and basically help rule over the people. And the last way is just a total extermination. And Machiavelli says that, in all honesty, the best way really is a total extermination, because then the problem is solved right off the bat. And he also advocates that when you do it, you got to do it really quickly, right? So then people forget about it. The sooner the better. Now, what I think we're seeing here deep down is the Israelis want to ethnically cleanse all of Gaza, and they are trying to line up their Gentile helpers to accept the refugees Israel plans on deporting. Because the goal for, I think, the Israelis is they want all of Gaza and they want to expel all of them. I hear the population's about 2 million. And the way it is with modern migrations of today, let's be honest about that, that isn't that big a deal. You know what I mean? We accept, what, over a million migrants to the United States a year legally, right? And then we take in who knows how many illegally just hopping over the fence in the border.
Yeah.
And so what I think is going to end up happening here is, for one, how can we help these poor Jews deal with their genocidal impulse? Because really, they collectively have a genocidal impulse right now. And remember, they've been hammered and taught and indoctrinated on the evils of genocide and, you know, the Holocaust, et cetera, and the kvetching, that I think there's going to be a lot of work for psychologists to help out these Jews overcome their genocide survivor's guilt. Right? Because this time, yeah. You know how it used to be, it's the survivors would see the psychologist to deal with the trauma of being expelled or having most of their relatives murdered off. This time, it's going to be Jewish psychologists having their Jewish patients come in, get on the couch, and then help them deal with the fact that, yeah, we did a genocide. Yeah, it was wrong. But yeah, we had to do it. So they're going to have to come up with all kinds of mental gymnastics, you know what I mean, Jim, to help them cope with the cognitive dissonance, because that's what's going to cause in the heads of a lot of them to pull this caper off, you know. But it seems to me...
Go ahead.
No, it just seems to me that the way the portents are coming from, you know, the astrological portents and divination is coming, it seems like all the Gentile helpers in America and in Europe, they're already going to say, yeah, we'll take 400,000, yeah, we'll take 100,000. And before you know it, all 2 million of the Gazans are dispersed, problem solved, Israel ethnically cleansed in front of everybody, and they're going to get away with it.
Paul, you're making a lot of good points. I would say there are a couple of differences today. The Gazans know that if they leave, they're not coming back. They're not going to have a homeland. They're not going to have a right to return. They're resisting. Hamas is not giving up. Hamas is fighting like mad and being very effective. That's number one. Number two, the whole world is watching this as it happens. And every decent human being on planet Earth is nauseated, is repulsed, is aghast at what's going on here, because this is just a wholesale slaughter right in front of God and everybody, thanks to the miracles of television, the internet, and the like. That has never happened before. And number three, the Israeli claim to invulnerability, which was shattered on October 7th, is even more permanently shattering their victimhood status from, which has been the key to their political influence, a Western sense of guilt over the Holocaust. They have forfeited it completely because they're now acting toward the Palestinians the way they claim the Nazis acted toward them. That is not what you do. They're not victims, they're monsters. And the world sees it. This is permanent, Paul. This is not going to change. And the way in which Israel has lost its status here is a calamity for the nation. It may or may not survive physically. Economically, it's going to be completely different. Politically, completely different. Many nations are getting rid of their, you know, kicking out the Israeli embassies. They're cutting off on trade and commerce. It's going to have devastating effects for Israel, mark my words. And that's even beyond the prospect of whether or not Israel survives physically. And I'm prepared to say, I think the prospect of Israel's survival physically is quite remote at this point in time. The United States, by the way, is going down with Israel. We're putting it all in. And if you even have the Speaker of the House making unconscionable remarks about how a ceasefire would be ridiculous or inappropriate, to hell with him. I mean, I've had a lot of respect for this guy. But when he comes out and makes monstrous statements like that, I'm quite offended. I don't like it. So I think your points are true. Of the past, it would have happened that way. But for the reasons I just articulated, it's not going to play out that way this time as I see it. A final thought, Paul, and I like your call a lot.
Well, you know how it is. I've been conditioned. You know, the Israelis bomb the King David Hotel. They get away with it. The terrorism paid off then. They hit the USS Liberty. They got away with that. They did 9/11. They got away with that. So I'm just conditioned that it seems like they're the winners. They always get their way. And they have so
many... Look. Those events were very located in space and time. You're talking about one-day events. You're talking about 9/11. You're talking about a destruction that occurred on a single day. This is being dragged out for a month now. It's a slaughter. It's wholesale, and the whole world is watching it. Nothing like this has ever occurred before, Paul. I'm telling you, this is going to induce trauma in a very large segment of the world, and the antipathy for Israel is going to be profound. Mark my words. Paul, I really like your call a lot. A final thought?
Well, we have many of what I would call Netanyahu's willing executioners here in our government. And
Paul, I agree with all of that. But for the reasons I've articulated, it ain't going to be the same this time. It ain't going to be the same. I want you to call back again. I really like your call.
All right, sir.
Renee in North Carolina, join the conversation, Renee.
Well, I tell you what, I was dancing around the kitchen. I was so happy when I heard you playing the Jimmy Dore clip, okay, that exposes, that $1.5 million British petroleum deal.
Yeah.
This all goes back. This is part of their plan. This is part of that Anglo-American Empire's plan from the beginning, and the Balfour Declaration and all that stuff from those Christian Zionists. They make long-range plans, okay? So I was like, oh, my God, this is so good. Because, it's like, and then the other thing that you played, I want to point out to the racist white supremacists out there. That next clip you played, what they were talking about was, the Jews that they kept sending to fill up Israel, where did they come from? Oh, yeah, Europe. What color are people in Europe? Oh, they be white folks, okay? They're white folks. Look at Netanyahu. That's a white man. From what I understand, I think he's even born in the United States. Just like some of these other kind of like high-profile Jewish leaders, okay? A lot of the ones that I know personally, those people are white. These white people that try to act like the Jews are a different race, no, they come from your race. And y'all need to have the moral courage to face that fact, okay? And they don't.
It's very strange, but these Jews regard themselves as non-white. I don't get it. I think it's very, very peculier. But they hold whites in contempt.
My two eyes tell me they're white. My two eyes tell me they're white.
Okay. Renee, I get
and like
it.
I said, Renee, and I that's get what it. That guy. That's what the guy said. They were bringing them from Europe. But see, they want to think, no, they're not like me. They're not part of my...
Yeah.
No. A lot of those people, you know, have the moral courage. Oh, poop. My two eyes say, they look like me. Okay? But see, people don't want to face that at all. Okay? And so, like I say, I was so happy to hear this because... what's been keeping me hanging on is the old stuff. I've been listening. They haven't scrubbed it from the net yet, okay? From the talks by the historian Anthony Sutton, okay? Because too much, the populist right has started playing the right-left paradigm again, and it drives me crazy, okay? Because as Anthony Sutton points out, at the top, they're both the same. And in fact, the capitalists financed the creation of the communists. If you look into Anthony Sutton's work, was a fascinating guy who they tried to silence him and they, when he was at Stanford and stuff, and then when he went independent where he could say what he wanted. Like I say, his work somehow has kind of fallen out of the memory of the alternative right. But like I say, I have gone back. It's been so validating for me where he talks about the secret societies and Cecil Rhodes and the Milner Group and all their plans for conquest, okay? And this is what all this goes back to. People forget Skull and Bones, what the CIA came out of. It did not allow Jews and Catholics for a long time. So the thing is, there's a lot of stuff that, I don't know if this is a juicy little tidbit. Ben Franklin was upset about the Germans moving into Philadelphia because they weren't Saxons. And you see, these Saxons also, what did they do? They called the Irish and the Italian, Irish N-word and Italian N-word. So they have even been racist against other white people, okay? And there's something everyone should Google. It's called the Head Right Program. Oh, that's a juicy little thing to look into. Because see, it's how the English set things up where the system was set up where they would own most of the property. But then you see, they had so much damn land, they couldn't work it all. They needed somebody to work it. That's why they started letting in people like the Italians and the Irish, because they needed somebody to work all that property they had, and then they called them Irish N-word and Italian N-word. People need to understand how the English have been the biggest bigots from the beginning of this country.
Renee, those are powerful points. Powerful points delivered with a lot of spirit. I like to call a final thought.
Well, like I say, maybe it's because, and you see, even when I was told about my Acadian heritage, I guess it's because our ancestors are kind of embarrassed the way they were defeated to tell the truth to their children. I was told about the story of Evangeline. I was given this romantic view about how my people were sent into exile and everything. And I didn't discover until I was maybe about a decade ago how ugly it really was on how my people, the French, were living peacefully around Nova Scotia with the Indians, getting along, trading, intermarrying, until the British came along, okay? And they stole all our livestock, burned our farms, and put us on leaky boats, and that's how we ended up in the swamp in Louisiana.
Renee, I love it. You got a great way of delivery, and I thank you for the call. Excellent, excellent call. Tom in Florida, join the conversation, Tom. I'm sure you've been eager to get on the air.
Oh, well, I just want to say, Renee, that was a great call, man. That really was. That last call, and Paul made a very great call, too, but Renee was right on the spot on the money, man. But Professor Jim, I want to talk about this. And before I go there, you got to listen. This is very, very important. I think the most important thing I saw today. And before I go there, I got to say, that Israel situation is only going to spiral out of control. I believe you're right, Jim. I believe I think Israel's going to get annihilated if they keep playing this game. But here's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about what I just saw, I hope everybody on RBN listens to this, Jim, and goes watch it on YouTube. Director Ray. Director, dictator, whatever you want to call him, Ray, the FBI. And he was sitting right next to Alejandro Mayorkas from Havana, Cuba. And they just had a Cuban-American from my hometown here in Miami-Dade County, Broward County area. His name is Carlos Jimenez. Well, you, Mr. Jimenez, grilled those two clowns like I've never seen a congressman do it. He's a Cuban-American. And, Jim, what he said, I'm going to repeat what he said. He said this, Mr. Ray, what was the biggest terrorist group that ever came to the United States? And Mr. Dictator Ray said it was ISIS. In other words, the ISIS from when they did the World Trade Towers, right? So I'm watching this, and Carlos Jimenez is going, no, Director Ray, that's not right. The biggest terrorists coming to this United States of America are all the drugs pouring in from Mexico with the cartels and all the drugs that are pouring and killing over 120,000 Americans. But before he said that, he asked Christopher Ray, do you know how many Americans have died from the biggest terrorist group? And he said 3,000. And Jimenez straightened him out. He says, no, it wasn't 3,000. It was in hundreds of thousands. And Ray was looking like a deer in the headlights. Everybody's got to YouTube this. Christopher Ray with Carlos Jimenez on the House subcommittee floor right now. And you had that Alejandro Mayorkas, who was born in Havana, Cuba, who's a full-fledged communist, okay, pumping all these millions of illegals in here. His eyes were, he's got these big bug eyes like Adam Schiff. And he's a schmuck, too. They're all schmucks. And I couldn't believe that the director of the FBI didn't even actually have the figures of how many, who were the biggest terrorist group to come to this country in the last 50 years. And it wasn't the World Trade Towers. It was all the Americans who are dying from fentanyl and are dying from rape and murder, like Kate Steinle, Molly Tibbetts. Do those ring a bell with you, Jim?
You're on a roll, Tom. I love it. This is great. Go for it.
Well, you know, that's what I'm saying. You know, a lot of guys waste women on RBN. We all talk about immigration. We don't talk about it enough because, look, we are being invaded. Nobody's calling their – and by the way, you had 12 congresspeople, Jim, on the Republican side. I called everyone in their office today. I told them they need to be primaried, and they need to step down. They broke the Constitution. When Marjorie Taylor Greene stuck her neck out and you had 12 people would not even go for the roll call vote and you had 8 more siding with the Democrats, Jim, what does that tell you about your country? What does that tell you about the United States? You know what it tells me? We're looking at an all-out civil war, and if it doesn't stop, this country is doomed in the next 10 years or less. Because right now, Jim, and by the way, I don't know if you've been hearing, but Kim Jong-un is already pulling all of his people out of the embassies, and he's basically threatening an EMP on the United States if they keep messing around with him. Have you heard about that?
No, but these are stories I would like to cover tomorrow, by God. I mean, Tom, you're nailing it.
By the way, Jim, you told me you were going to do me a favor. Did you ever look into Edward Kennedy? Have you ever remember what I told you about Edward Kennedy with immigration?
I haven't yet, Tom, but that's a great point, too, that if Edward had played a role in revising our immigration laws to make it easier for migrants to come into the country, that's not good.
He played the biggest role, Jim. When you find out tomorrow on your show, and if you start out with that on the first thing, you're going to find out that Edward Kennedy committed the biggest personal treason against the Constitution of any sitting senator in the United States history. It was Edward Kennedy and Manny Cuellar. They've destroyed our government. They destroyed this country. And again, Jim, let's go back to the real cause. He who controls the mind, media controls the mind. And that's what these Jews know. Like Paul was talking about.
Yes.
He who controls the media controls the mind. That's on a Ted Turner and CNN, the Communist News Network. And they even said it. And that's what they're doing to this country. We're allowing millions of illegals. Yeah. You had a bunch of Jews protesting in Washington yesterday about Hamas, but you didn't have 5 million white Northern European men and women on Washington, D.C. Talking about the illegal invasion of our country and the drugs pouring in here from the fentanyl and every other thing that's killing us, like the Chinese communists. This is insane. And we don't have, we can't even, like the one guy from Chicago, I hope he calls in your show one day, Tony, the great caller, and Marco, and Sebastian, of course, from Sweden. I mean, you know, there's nobody wants to stand up, it seems like, Jim. I mean, you got, we're being invaded. You don't have, you can't even get 100 Americans that probably white Marco Washington with plastic saying, or a packet of a sign saying, we're being invaded. Do something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody's doing anything.
Tom, you're making great points. I love your calls. Give us a final thought, just because I have several others lined up here, Tom. Give us a final thought, but I love your points.
Well, my final thought is we had a Cuban-American congressman that actually called out the FBI agent and my Mayorkas for being criminals and breaking the Constitution. And he even said it, Jimenez. And that's my final thought. We actually have some Cuban-Americans. It seems like they have more balls than the white Anglo-Caucasians, Jim.
I love it.
They're more gun-loving than we are.
Tom, I'm going to track it down and put it on tomorrow. I really appreciate all of this. Thanks for a super call. Dan in Washington. Dan, join the conversation.
A lot of great topics today, but with Peter's call about the narrative and defining the terms, don't let the enemy define the terms. But I would add, the problem is the narrative. Don't let the enemy define the narrative and go along with their narrative. And the narrative since World War II is the worst thing in the world you can be as a racist or an anti-Semite. So when someone calls me these terms, I basically just, I have two responses. And that I don't deny it at all. You know, Theodore Herzl said an anti-Semite is someone who doesn't like to be ruled by Jews. So I just say, yes, I'm an anti-Semite and I'm proud. And a racist is just someone who sticks up for white people. And I say, yeah, I'm racist. So
I like it. Grab it by the horns or by the teeth and defang it. I like that. You know, I've tried to do that myself with regard to conspiracy theorists. You know, you're a conspiracy realist. You're a conspiracy analyst. There's, conspiracies are as American as apple pie. I think you're right. Being opposed to it being ruled by Jews is a good thing, not bad. You make a great point. Final thought, Dan?
Thanks for taking the call. Great show. You're doing really good, and when I call in, it's busy half the time. That's a good sign.
I'm real pleased with your call, Dan. Thanks for that. Misty in Kansas. Misty, join the conversation.
Hi, Jim. Yeah, I'm with him. I was on. I got a lot of busy signals. I've been on the line for 24 minutes.
Well,
anyway.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Misty. We only got a minute or two. Go for it.
I know. What you were saying yesterday, you were saying you didn't believe that people would show up for this, Jew event, March for Israel.
Yeah.
If you go to Information Liberation, pro-Israel group paid students $250 each to attend March for Israel.
Yep.
Information Liberation. And if you go through this article, I'm telling you, this country is controlled by the Jews, period, and the Zionist Christians, because, I mean, they list them on that article, all these people, like you said, the new Speaker of the House,
I was truly waiting
to find out, sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say that Laura and Reese, I'm sorry I couldn't get them on. Misty, great call. I'm really glad you made that point about paid. Those people who turned out were paid. Meanwhile, remember, spend as much time as you can with your family, your friends, and people you love and care about. We do not know how much time we have left. Thanks for being here.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.